In this passage, Tennessee Williams is trying to make us understand the irresistible mechanism that keeps together Maggie and Brick. So I'm going to try to analyze this infernal mechanism. Step one, we realize that Maggie is completely crazy about Brick. She's desperately in love with him.
I can't see any man but you. With my eyes closed, I just see you.
So she's trying to save her marriage with Brick and relight his fire. And her strategy is a coaxing strategy. She proposes to give him a rub or a cologne rub, but he refuses. After that, she praises his physical beauty.
Why can't you lose your good looks, Brick? Most drinking men lose theirs. Why can't you? I think you've even gotten better looking since you went on the bottle.
And finally, she talks about sex.
If I thought you'd never, never make love to me again, I'd find me the longest, sharpest knife I could, and I'd stick it straight into my heart. I'd do that.
But this declaration has absolutely no effect on him. So we could think that she still loves him, despite the fact that he doesn't love her anymore. But Tennessee Williams shows that it's going to be a little bit more complex. So this is step two in the demonstration. Step two is that not despite the fact that he doesn't love her, but because of this fact. Now, if you only pay attention to the dialogue in the film, that is not clear because it was cut off from the original script.
You were such a wonderful lover.
You'll be late.
You were so exciting to be in love with. Mostly, I guess, because you were...
It's quite clear the way Elizabeth Taylor speaks that part of the sentence has been cut off. And so the only way to understand what she actually means is to have a look at the original drama script. So let's have a look at line 52. You were such a wonderful lover, such a wonderful person to go to bed with. And I think mostly because you were really indifferent to it. Isn't that right? Never had any anxiety about it. Did it naturally, easily, slowly, with absolute confidence and perfect calm, more like opening the door for a lady and seating her at a table than giving expression to any longing for her. Your indifference made you wonderful at lovemaking. Strange, but true. So we actually realize that Brick's attitude has always been like this, has always been indifferent. Even when he made love to her, he didn't express any longing for her, any desire for her, and she was particularly fascinated by his indifference because she interpreted this attitude as a form of absolute confidence and perfect calm, as she says on line 55. But now that Brick's attitude has changed, now that he refuses to touch her, then the only thing she gets from him is pain. And this leads us to step three in the demonstration, the fact that Maggie's attitude is an instance of masochism. Well, in a certain way, she's actually in love with the pain she receives from him. She compares herself to Saint Maggie, that's in the drama script, line 39. If you did, it would make the martyrdom of Saint Maggie a little bit more bearable. But a saint, or a martyr, is a person who suffers. With the character of Maggie, Tennessee Williams reaches the heart of the human soul. He is able to describe how the relationship between Maggie and Brick can be toxic. In a way, she is intoxicated by Brick. Just the way Brick depends on alcohol, she depends on Brick. She is completely She is completely possessed by him for a particular reason. She is possessed by him because she knows that she will never possess him. His attitude is so distant, so indifferent, that he will never belong to her. Consequently, her love for him will last forever.